She's doing it again. Revulsion colors Anna's pretty features. Glancing over my shoulder, I follow her gaze across the gym, curious as to what has my easygoing best friend riled up. The bubbly blonde from our Krav Maga class twists her ponytail around her fingers, and Hyena laughs at something Kent, our instructor, says. Gah, could she be any more of a Barbie doll? She paws at him, fingers trailing the smooth expanse of his chiseled chest, her hands like magnets clinging to a fridge. While he's a decent teacher, his true talent is his stunning bod. A must-have to work at or frequent this trendy Brooklyn gym. Normally, I'm against another's expectations of how one should look or act to be accepted. Yet here I am, frequenting such a place. Truth be told, this gym has one of the best Krav Maga classes in the city. But maybe that's no longer a good enough reason to overlook the vacuous atmosphere. Lips pursed, I'm suddenly bothered by the ever-present eye candy. No wonder my teeth ache. Beauty and sex sell, and sadly, we're all for sale whether we know it or not. Maybe this ache has nothing to do with other people's vanity and judgmental attitude, and everything to do with my guilt for succumbing to the hotness just like the next person. After all, I am sleeping with Kent. It's just sex, nothing more. Some might say we're fuck buddies, but that would imply we're friends. We aren't. We have sex when the urge strikes. End of story. Tommy, aren't you going to break that up? Anna, the little sprite that she is, crowds me like a mama bear ready to protect her baby cub, despite my 5'9" frame. Nope. I shrug and head for the exit, where I'm immediately hit with the oppressive humidity of the night air as I step outside. But what if they go on a date or sleep together? Her repulsed expression suggests their potential sexual dalliance would be the worst thing to happen to humanity. Romantic relationships are serious business to my friend, whereas to me, they're too much work for little to no payoff. Just another facade we're made to believe is oh so important. At 26, neither of us has had an easy life. And while we were both held captive, our experiences have made us very different people. She's hopeful, and I'm realistic.
My eyes burn from the lack of sleep, and the relentless pounding in my head reminds me just how long it's been since I've slept. Nearly 48 hours. The adrenaline high of leading a top-notch team of professionals in a successful cardiac transplant has long since worn off, but it was one hell of a rush, something I'm sure to never forget. Although I'd never forget because of my patient. She's my youngest patient to date and my age. That's why this one hit a little too close to home. A 32-year-old humanitarian is struck by a viral disease while in Africa trying to better the lives of those less fortunate. The universe can be truly twisted and cruel. She literally paid with her heart. Luckily, her dire situation and general good health, save for her failing heart, moved her up the donor list, and we got a match just in time. I should go home and get some sleep. She's doing well and is being monitored closely for any signs of rejection. If something were to happen, the staff have instructions to call me, no matter the time. I quickly change and get out of the hospital before I cave and crash in a staff room or on a couch. Slumping in the back of the Uber, I fish out my phone to text Tommy. It's too late to call her, but I can't wait to tell her about the surgery. She, of all people, would know how much tonight means to me. The corners of my mouth turn upward in a smile when I think about how I've bored her for years with my planned career path to becoming a cardiovascular surgeon. Shit, I've got 6 texts from my sister, Tate. Years ago now, I chose to leave Cambridge, where I studied medicine, and move back to New York to protect my sister from our mother, Taya. I hadn't been there for Tate when she needed me the most, and I decided I was no longer sitting on the sidelines while our mother threatened her family and future.